Welcome to the Dallas Soccer Show. I'm Dustin Nation, and I'm here, as always, with Tristan Vick. How's it going, Tristan?
It is going so well, my man. I am happy, and I am fuller than a stadium hosting an International Champions Cup match.
Wow. That's impressive.
It's a pretty low bar, because they're like a third full in most of the matches, so... But I am happier than that.
Well, that's something, I guess.
Yes. So if anybody's thinking of going to one of those,
they're expensive. I was trying to go to one of the Liverpool ones, and it was like $200 a ticket.
Yeah.
For like upper deck.
Yeah. Don't buy list.
Right. So anyways, busy week. Some things may or may not have happened since we last recorded. We played Houston.
Nah, dude, they definitely happened.
Okay, so some things have happened.
Don't start fake newsing our podcast.
I was trying to be cheeky, Tristan.
I didn't get it. I didn't get it.
It's okay. You're just in your cloud of euphoria, half full stadium euphoria.
That's right.
Okay. Anyways, we played the Texas Derby. It is Derby. I'm not a Derby guy. On Saturday, and came away with a split of the spoils, 1-1 draw. And then I guess, you know, the other big news is, I can't think of it off the top of my head. Oh yes. Kellen Acosta, sayonara Kellen.
Yeah. So that's some big news.
Big news there.
We've also lost Diaz. That.
We have, but we got the Diaz replacement. So that's also news.
We did.
And we're going to get into all of that. And then at the end of our discussion, or my discussion with Tristan, I'm going to talk to Mark Goodman, who is at Rapids Rabbi on Twitter, he covers the Colorado Rapids, as you might suggest, or you might infer from his Twitter handle. And we're going to talk to him about Dominic Baggi, who we got in exchange for Kellen along with a bunch of other things. So a lot to cover today. We're going to try to get through it pretty quickly, though. So buckle your safety belts. Tristan, yeah. Houston, FC Dallas versus Houston. Thoughts?
Houston, we have a problem. And
it's scoring.
Well, I mean, we live in Texas. Most of our listeners live in Texas, but some of you don't live in Texas. But if you live in the United States, you know it's like been an absurdly hot summer. The people that don't believe in global warming are just silly. It's been triple digit heat in Texas, and you could tell that match. Both teams, only Houston had a midweek match, but both teams just looked gassed. I think Dallas is... There's probably a lot of behind the scenes locker room type drama, you could say, that they were aware of. So that probably weighed pretty heavily on the team. But the match itself was pretty crappy the second half. The first half was better, I thought, but there were some opportunities Dallas probably could have converted. And the most notable one, obviously, was the penalty that was called. Barrios drew a penalty with a great run down the left side. And next thing you know, we're thinking Reto Ziegler is going to take the penalty. They were talking on the broadcast so much about Reto Ziegler and how he's the best penalty taker ever. And go check out his Instagram. And like, I did check out his Instagram. Highly recommend it. He's very well traveled. But he, doesn't take the penalty.
Off.
Yeah, yeah. Instead, Roland Lamal. Maybe it was it Lamal's birthday? I mean, like, I don't know why. We've never seen Lamal take a penalty for Dallas.
Parents were in the stadium or something? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but he tried to take the penalty, and tried is the operative word, because it was, you could just tell when he walked up to it that it wasn't exactly something he was like excited to do.
It took forever and a day for them to start that kickoff. So like, I think I texted you as we're just sitting around waiting for them to get that thing kicking off, that I'm worried about Lamar taking this kick. And sure enough,
he missed it. But it wasn't just that he missed it. It was like he missed it and then he had a chance to follow it up and he missed it again. And
yeah,
it was, I mean, it was typical Lamar, like first touch where he needs like 15 feet to get the ball. But yeah, it was, it's a very, very Lamar-like thing to do. And so, I mean, it sucks because I feel like if we had converted the penalty, I don't think Houston was ever really going to have the effort to push forward and get an equalizer. So in that sense, it is 3 points lost. But yeah, at the same time, if you had told us, hey, you're going to be able to get a draw and you'll be good and you'll get out of there with no injuries, et cetera, like, then I would say, cool. But ultimately, it was, what can you do about it? So,
yeah, it was a bit frustrating.
I'm not too bummed.
Yeah, it was a bit frustrating, but it's not the end of the world. Like, I didn't find myself being too terribly upset after the match or the next morning or anything about the result. The Lamar stuff just boggles my mind. Like, first of all, is there not like an assigned taker before the game? And if the guy waves that guy off, is there any kind of like retribution that happens or punishment that happens for, you know, I guess disobeying the, does the players council get involved or anything? I wonder if somebody has stats on like, on what the conversion ratio is on penalty kicks that are taken by somebody who's waved off the assigned taker. Because I've seen at least a couple this year that where that's been happening and they miss or something interesting happens, you know? So
I'm not sure. I would say that it's not just waving someone off as much as it is like having the confidence that you're going to convert it and knowing what you're doing. And it just, I don't know, he very much pre-2018 World Cup England the penalty. And so I'm going to go ahead and just say that he had a brain fart and couldn't decide where he wanted to put it. So he kind of put it down the middle basically and never got any lift on it. But I went through and watched and we really should be having Ziegler take these, but yeah. Needless to say, yeah. I don't think we'll have Lamal be taking these anytime soon.
Let us all pray and hope. But yeah, to your point earlier, like the second half, you could tell Houston was gassed. We looked a little tired too, but not as tired as Houston. They just played midweek against Kansas City. So,
yes. And
we, you know, we kind of got a little bit of a, I guess, alternate lineup from them as well. So, you know, kind of frustrating, but not maddening that we didn't, you know, get those extra 2 points. So, anything else to add on the Houston game there, Tristan?
No, not too much.
Santi Mascara's injury.
Yeah.
I was just getting excited about Santi and he was growing into the role and into the team. And he, like when we went, to see the Chicago match, you know, Santi was getting super physical and like putting a challenge in and really using his body. And you could tell he was really starting to try to take the team by the horns and trying to make a name for himself on the team. And then it's just really, really gutted for him to have another hamstring injury.
Yeah, it's a bummer. But again, like I was saying earlier, it's 100+ degrees heat index in the second half. Like it wasn't even the first half, the earlier half, it was in the second half. So it doesn't surprise me that if any of the players got hurt, but I also feel like it's kind of means that we can only play him in certain situations when he does get healthy. Hopefully this doesn't take too much time. But again, hamstrings, don't rush them back, especially it's just such a weird thing to have happen because FC Dallas is top of the table. We've sold arguably our best player. We've traded away our most beloved player, at least by local fans. Mm-hmm. And we've essentially swapped our left back, who was already pretty good, for another guy. And we're still top of the table. So granted, it's only been a month or so since all of that's happened. It'll be interesting to see how this all shakes out. And now with another injury, it's just another chance that we're able to get, it's just another chance that we'll have to get another player in there to kind of see how things are going in terms of some of that youth that we've gotten. I think that's why you see Paxton's with the U-20s, but Jesus Ferreira is going to be back in the 18 probably. We're kind of using that depth that we've gotten over the years to our advantage now, finally. And hey, you never know. Maybe we'll find a diamond in the rough that we hadn't seen much of. I will say it's exciting because maybe we'll get to see a little more Tesho, who people forget, but he had a really good rookie season in 2014 and scored 9 goals, 7 in the league. I mean, he was rookie of the year. And I think Tesho is a talent that we need to start using. I mean, I guess he's happy to just kind of be the attacking version of Hollingshead, but I feel like he's a solid guy that wants to get on that Canada squad regularly. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm Tesho, I'm kind of pushing for some more playing time. So we'll see.
Yeah. It sounds like that might not actually happen though, based upon what we got out of the Kellen Acosta trade. So let's switch gears here for a second. And if somehow you hadn't heard, Kellen Acosta is now a member of the Colorado Rapids, and in exchange for Kellen Acosta, FC Dallas picked up Dominic Baggi and the Rapids first round pick in the 2019 Super Draft and an international spot for the 2018 and 2019 seasons. And should Acosta be transferred out of the MLS by 2020, we get 50% of the sell-on fee. We get a 50% sell-on fee. So a lot going on there. But in the end, we are saying goodbye to, like you said, one of our most beloved homegrown players, Plano's own Kellen Acosta. And now we have zero of our two phenoms from Fox's Phenoms documentary left. So the moral of the story might be don't go on Fox documentaries if you're on FC Dallas.
Who was the first?
Walker Zimmerman.
Oh. I mean, Fox is a pretty low standard for like soccer content. Anybody who watched the World Cup knows that. I would more so say it just sucks, but I would go on the
except Phenoms, for the play-by-play hosts or play-by-play commentators.
I mean, he was a contract guy. I'm not saying that Mark is a Fox News or Fox Sports guy at all. He's definitely a contract guy. And if I had it my way, it would have, I mean, he's definitely one of the 4 or 5 best American commentary or color play-by-play guys. But yeah.
But we digress.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm with you on this. This is a big trade. The biggest thing, I mean, all that other crap, the draft pick, I don't really care about that. That's kind of dumb. We've had a couple that worked out over the years, but for the most part, the drafts are meh. And then, but the sell-on fee is the big one. And then the international spot will be nice because we like to be able to bring in more South Americans if we can. Similarly, I think that we probably have a couple of people in the home or in the academy that will want to move up. And so if we can move some players from the homegrowns up.
Yeah, today we just signed a new homegrown.
Yeah, Thomas player. Roberts was a guy that I watched whenever I went and watched the youth teams last year playing Lone Star SC out of Austin. And they were... That's a good club team to test him against, but he was really good on the ball. very skilled. He's got some good size for, I mean, he's only like 17, but he's got some decent size. And he moved his entire family from Arkansas to Dallas for this single purpose, was to come to Dallas to play soccer. So I think he's been here about 2 or 3 years. And so I always take a little more stock in that, because there was a really good discussion on the BBC, I think, about players that, or no, I was listening to another podcast with one of the scouting directors talking about the youth interest and players that move to do residency is one thing, but players that move their entire family, like, those guys are driven. And so I think this is a cool signing. I think Roberts is really gifted. We probably won't see him this year on the senior team in a match, but we could see him definitely on some practices, but also next season, I think, look, one for the future.
Right. So back to the trade.
Yeah.
We're wandering all over the place. It's great. So back to the trade. Overall, do you like the trade? Who do you think got the better end of it? What are your thoughts?
I've seen Bagi in person once, and I was actually really impressed with his physical talents. MLS is a very physical league, so I think we got the better deal, because I think Kellen, his form has dropped off significantly from a couple years ago. I'm not going to assign blame for any of that. I'm just telling you what I've seen. So I think we did, because Bagi is a much more physical player who can do some things that a Rudy can't do. I think that one of the best parts of the trade is that we are able to free up a spot in an already crowded midfield to look at some new talent. So Ja'Cory Hayes started the season off really well. I think Ja'Cory Hayes is like the perfect MLS player. I don't think Ja'Cory has the talent necessarily to be, I don't think he necessarily has the talent to be a player over in Europe, but I think he could definitely make a long career out of being just a really solid squad player in the MLS. So that's a good chance for him to really show us what he's got. Victor Ulloa has been showing really well, and so this is more time for him. We just have a lot of players in there, and I think Third Degree or Buzz Carrick, the Dallas Morning News said it best, where he was kind of like, we traded our like third or fourth string center midfielder for a starting center forward who's got coming off his best season and is in great form, going from one of the bottom of the tables to the top. So there's competition now. I mean, it's a win for us, in my opinion, because I don't buy too much of the Kellen's some big emotional talisman or anything. He got a loud applause whenever he was announced, but that's about it. So I'm cool with it. I mean, I still think that Rudy's going to be the starting center forward going forward. But we've got a lot of other stuff coming in, happening around the team that Bagi's exciting, but also it's pretty exciting to see the other two signings the main one is Arangues, who we can talk about now if you want. I mean, I don't know. You can wrap it up if you want to on the Kellen stuff, but sure. In my opinion, it's definitely a win for Dallas, because we get a player who needs some new scenery. We are able to kind of really expand our center midfield now. So that's how I see it.
Yeah, no, overall, I think I'd agree with you. I think we came out way better in that deal. For a lot of the reasons you said, FC Dallas has got a pretty stacked midfield. We just signed a new midfielder with Arangues. And, you know, people have been crying out for a proven goal scorer up to help lead our line. And Bagi is a proven goal scorer. He's tied with Lamon now on our team goal tally, right? So you know, there's nobody can say now, hey, we need to go out and get a proven goal scorer, because we did. I think it gives us the ability. I think it gives us more options when we go into that 4-4-2, which Pereira has been using a bit lately. It give you somebody to put alongside of Rudy. So Rudy can go do a Rudy things, and that guy can, and his partner can, you know, go and be more of a target man or lead the line up forward. So, you know, I think overall, from, you know, just on paper, in my eyes, I think it's a good thing for Dallas. We'll see how it comes. I wish Kellen nothing but the best in his personal endeavors. Don't want, you know, Colorado to beat us or anything, but I think that that can be separate from, you know, still liking Kellen Acosta as a person and a player. And it will be sad not having his mom like every post that we mention him in. So hopefully, yeah, it will be sad to see her go as well.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah.
it's funny how many of the players, while we're talking about that, it's funny how many of the players' moms are actually on social media and, you know, will interact with us when we talk about their sons online. So is Kellen's mom and Reggie Cannon's mom are both big on Twitter. So it's kind of funny. Maybe we should change our name to the Dallas Soccer Mom Show.
That's a possibility. However, I think it's worth pointing out, Denver right now, it's 72 and cloudy. There is not a single high. It's not until next Tuesday does the high get above 79. Well, there's Friday. But everything else, it's like, real, it's a lot of rain, actually. But Kellen's the big winner, man. Texas is kind of ugly, especially North Texas. Like, I'd much rather live in Denver than live in Texas. No offense.
Traitor!
No, I'm just not blind. I have eyeballs. I can see all of the sprawling pavement.
I don't like burning to death when I go outside.
Yeah, you're the pasty white fellow. You should be wanting that Denver weather. But
hey, I almost moved there once.
Yeah. That's true. So that's the that's that. But
all right. So couple seconds on Pablo Arangues. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah, it's good enough for somebody from Oklahoma. So
a pasty white guy from Oklahoma.
Yeah. Right. So
we got all the stereotypes checked here.
That's right. But you believe in global warming, so that's okay. So the biggest thing about Arangues that I like is that he's kind of a like for like switch with Diaz, who's just a little, but he's just a little less polished. I think it's going to be great because Chile is he's Chilean, and the national team of Chile is like kind of reloading. He's coming off a season where his club in Chile finished second in the league, which Chile's not. I would rank them probably fourth behind the Brazilian, Argentinian, Colombian, and then I'd say the Chilean league's probably right around there in terms of strength. So for people to kind of get an idea, that's the best idea I can give you. But the team that he's coming off of had some really talented players, and I think that he's going to be wanting to get into that Chile national team squad, since a lot of those players are kind of moving on, that Alexis Sanchez generation. So what you have now is a player who's highly motivated, we got him relatively on the cheap, but I also think he's really excited. He's a young guy. He's ready to really make an impact. So I'm excited. His speed and his pace is really good. He's creative, which is nice. And he's got a little more pace than Diaz, which makes him, in my opinion, a little bit more dangerous in open play.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a little dubious of how the club is selling him as Mauro Diaz's replacement. I think that when you bring a guy in, you want to let him be him and not try to like fit him in a box that somebody else made. So hopefully, like you said, he'll be able to use those things that you just mentioned and make a name for himself and not just be forever Mauro Diaz's replacement. So,
yeah, we'll see. I'm excited. I hope he gets on the pitch soon. Hopefully, probably not this weekend, but maybe next, so we can see him live and in person. And it'd be nice to see. So
yeah,
I'm looking forward to it.
I think he was at practice this week, so we'll see. All right, so I think that's about all we have for this segment. After the little musical interlude, we're going to talk to Mark Goodman and about Dominic Baggi. So stay tuned for that, and we'll see you after that. The Dallas Soccer Show, your source of FC Dallas banter and U.S. Men's National Team news and coverage. Hey, Mark, thanks for joining me.
It's an honor, man. Thanks a lot, Dustin.
All right, so why don't you tell a little bit about yourself to us FC Dallas fans, introduce yourself a little bit, and tell everybody what you do up for the Colorado Rapids.
Yeah, so I've been writing at the Colorado Rapids for about 4 or 5 years now. I started with our local SB Nation Vox fan site. You guys have Big D Soccer down there, and we have something called Burgundy Wave up in Denver. And so I wrote for them for a couple of years, and then I split off and joined another website, which is mine, and I co-edit with some other folks, and it's called Around MLS. So I do my stuff there. And then I freelance write for a couple different outlets, including American Soccer Now. And I'm working on some other big freelance stories that should be fun. And I also host the big Colorado Rapids podcast, which is called Holding the High Line with Rabbi in Red, which is me and a guy who writes for Last Word on Soccer. And his name is Matt Pollard. So, yeah, that's a little bit about me.
You're a busy man.
I try to keep things going, which is a lot of fun.
Excellent. All right, so you guys have a new number 10, it seems.
We do. We have your number 10.
Well, he was our number 23, but so that number choice is a little interesting to me, because never really thought of Kellen Costa as a number 10. But what are your thoughts on the trade from a Colorado's perspective?
I think I hold with the rest of the general media around the MLS world, who thinks this is a good trade, and it's also a possible win-win, which is really rare in any trade in any sport, but specifically in Major League Soccer. The specifics of the deal that I think are best are that Dominic Baggi's a very talented player who is probably not necessarily a big part of the future plans of the Rapids. You know, it's been obvious they've been trying to bring in more strikers or another striker. He has also said that he would like to try his hand in France in a couple years. And the Rapids are kind of back in rebuilding mode. So, you know, he's the classic kind of player that a team that's gearing up for the playoffs would want, and a team that is out of the playoffs doesn't really need. Whereas Kellen Acosta, who's a young player and who is basically kind of out of favor with Oscar Pareja, and is kind of superfluous to the plans. And then the last bit of this trade that makes it a really so Acosta has a couple years of being like the centerpiece of the Colorado Rapids potentially when he was kind of on the outs in Dallas. The last piece of the trade is fascinating. That's really great, I think. Although, you know, I don't get to take a specific peek at the contract, is the clause that they inserted about sell on value, in which either team, if either player is sold in 2019 or 2020, they get either 50% or 30% of the value. So if Baggi is sold to France, the Rapids will get 50% of that money. If Acosta goes to Ajax in Holland, Dallas will get 50%, which I think is a brilliant move in the sense that it mitigates risk for both teams. The worst thing you could ever do as a team is trade a player and then have that player just blow up, do amazingly for a year or two, and then that player gets sold on for three times the amount that you got him for. So I think that that's a, I personally think it's a really good move by both teams. If you're more Machiavellian and you want your front office to fleece other GMs, then you don't like that. But I think both of these GMs went into it and said, like, let's not. I mean, one last piece, and I could be totally wrong about this, but your GM is Fernando Clavijo, who is a former Colorado Rapids player and former Colorado Rapids front office manager. So and Pareja also worked for the Rapids. I could be wrong in reading, like, you know, good vibes and positivity, but I have like a sinking suspicion that maybe neither front office wanted a reputation for screwing over the other front office.
That seems logical. Yeah. It's that bit about Bodgy having the sell on clause. I hadn't heard that part, but I had heard about the Acosta getting the sell on clause. So that's interesting for me. New news for me.
So the rumor that's not confirmed by any outlets is that the value of the sell-on dips for the previous team to 30% in 2020. So that
I had heard that too. So
yeah, and it's been kind of rumored, but nobody's confirmed. So it just means that, you know, if the Rapids have the success of hanging on to Acosta through the 2020 season, then Dallas gets less money. But, you know, it's all funny money at this point, and who knows how MLS rules will change between now and then about what percentages goes to the league and what percentage goes to what team. So it's sure. it's all money.
Yeah. Huh. So how do you imagine Kellen will fit into the Colorado squad? What role do you feel he'll play, or what hole do you think he'll fill, or how do you think they'll, like you said, build the team around Kellen?
Great question. The one question that goes with it that we don't know yet right now is what formation our manager wants to play going forward. Until like 2 weeks ago, it seemed completely obvious that we were going to play a 5-3-2 or a 5-4-1 exclusively. And what had been the problem for the Rapids that it was that in a three-man midfield, we had one guy who could kind of do the what's called the regista role, the deep-lying, long ball pinging, defensive midfield kind of stuff. And the other two midfielders were kind of underperforming all around. They could defend a little, they could pass the ball a little, but they couldn't score, they couldn't dribble, they couldn't penetrate, and they couldn't also hold up the defensive workload, you know, in two ways. So we had no, if you use the number system, we had a good six, we had no eight, and we had no 10. And that's where Kellen Acosta comes in. He's talented enough offensively, hopefully, that you could deploy him as a 10. But both Anthony Hudson and Kellen Acosta in their intro interviews, which I went to this last Monday, said he's a number eight. We're going to play him as a number eight. So his job is to connect the ball from that back line out to the wings, up to the striker. And the other assumption is that he's going to start every game, which is great for us. You know, Colorado has acquired that kind of guy, that number eight, several times in the last 2 years, and they've all been busts. So so we're very happy that's probably what we're going to get out of Acosta.
Yeah, I can see that. And I think one of the things, I think we touched on it earlier in our episode of the Dallas Soccer Show, is like, this is also, like you said, it's a win-win for FC Dallas and for Colorado, but I think Acosta is the real winner here, because I think that, you know, he gets that change of scenery. He gets to go to a place where, like you said, we're assuming he's going to get to start every game. So yeah, I think I like this.
My only way with that, and is a great chapter in a book called Soccernomics, which the Rapids front office is all read. So I know that they know that this is an issue. In that book, there are a number of soccer players who talk about how unhappy they were when they were transferred from one league to another because they were not properly prepared and no one took care of them. So I forget I forget who it was, but there was an English player who went to Italy, and his complaint when they brought him over was they said, you know, after a year or two, he played really poorly and he went back to England, and they asked him, you know, what was wrong there? He said, everything was foreign, you know, something like that. and that's the fear with a guy like Kellen, who lived his entire life in Texas, with a short stop at Bradenton in Florida, is that, you know, it might take a little bit to adjust to Colorado. He doesn't really, know anybody here. He doesn't have any friends. He's still a young man. So I'm just hoping that the team does due diligence to make sure he settles in. Okay. I'm sure they will. But you know, I think we writers, we commentators forget that these are people and they have a really, you know, their adjustment, their comfort level, their confidence, their emotions are a big part of their game. I'll just kind of end that thought with, a couple of years ago, I was interviewing, someone in the front office, and off the record, I was asking about this one player who was a really talented player who was really great the year before and was really crappy that year for us. And I said, you know, what happened? You know, was he hiding an injury all year? What was the deal? He's like, he was going through a divorce. And I was, it brought me to a new level of appreciation for these athletes as human beings, that they have to adjust. And so for Kellen, I think it's a great move because we're not good right now and we don't have anywhere to go. So like, we don't have to make the playoffs at the end of the season. And if we spend the rest of the season kind of adjusting and letting Kellen like settle in on the field, but also off the field, that's fine. Like, we don't really need him to come out of the box raring to go until February of 2019.
Makes sense. All right. So let's switch over and talk about the player that FC Dallas is getting, Dominic Baggi. Tell us a little bit about, so Baggi, like, I've got to see him a couple times in person, and whenever my co-host and I, Tristan, would kind of like scout the opposing teams, like always when we'd play Colorado since we started our show, like, Baggi's like the guy that we key in on, like, we got to stop that guy and make sure that he doesn't get in behind. And so tell us from your perspective about Dominic Baggi, the player. What does he bring? What is his style? What do we need to know about the player we're getting?
He's a phenomenal player. For fans at FC Dallas who don't know a lot about his background, he was a fourth round draft pick in 2015 for the Colorado Rapids. You know, the absolute total lottery ticket. There's no way this guy will ever see the field kind of guy. Colorado has not had a fourth round pick who made the starting team before or since, with the exception of this year. And they sent him on loan to our USL affiliate in Charlotte, and he played very well. The next year, he started playing with the team, and we had essentially, we had one striker who was Kevin Doyle in 2015 when Baggi came up with the team. So I think maybe Baggi came up in 2014 was the year he was drafted. I'll have to look that up anyways, but he started playing with the team in 2015 and 2016. They used him in the 4-2-3-1, a little bit deployed on the left wing, occasionally on the right wing, but then they put him up top at striker. And he just could do the things that the coach needed him to do. He was often in our 4-2-3-1, totally isolated all by himself, left on an island, and you could still lope the ball up to him, have him bring it down and start to manufacture on his own, which was really great. He also was nimble enough inside the box that the wingers could swing a ball to him, a low cross to his feet, and he could finish in front of goal. So he had those kind of like Thomas Muller, Chris Wondolowski, poacher in front of goal moments. But Baggi's game is really simple. He's big and physical, so you can swing a big ball up to him, have him knock it down, and then if he can knock it down for somebody else, he'll make the run through the defenders, and before you notice, they'll have played it over and behind to him. So that's a tried and true move. His hold up play is phenomenal. I think he's one of the better and most underrated hold up players in all of Major League Soccer. And he's big, but he's not huge. You know, he's not a giant target forward, but the Rapids love to have him play back to goal, put the ball at his feet, have him hold off his defender, and either make a tricky move and go, or just ping it back and then get himself into space. He's just, that's one of his best moves. And he's very talented at getting behind two center backs. If you can slip a ball through to him, he's extremely fast. And he can play on the break too. He's a very good player in transition on the break, all by himself or with one or two supporting players. So he's a really, he's a very complete player. I think maybe the only, his passing game is kind of only okay. His technique is fairly good. But he's not, you know, like a deadly passer. I guess the last two things I'll say is he's fine in the air, but you might look at him and say like, oh, big, strong, powerful guy, swing balls in at his head. I don't think that's his best use. But I have a feeling most coaches will know that about him. And then the last piece is, his first touch is okay, but it's not like elite. You know, he's gonna make first touch mistakes. He's a bit Jossie Zardes like that, but they're very similar players in a lot of ways. But you know, I think Zardes has had national team experience and Bhaji is just maybe a tick behind that.
Gotcha.
Some people have criticized his finishing. I think his finishing is fine. And if you look up his expected goals on AmericanSoccerAnalysis.com, you'll see that his expected goals have pretty much always been right where they're supposed to be. So he's not a spectacular, unbelievable finisher like Bradley Wright Phillips or Kyle Larin have been the last couple of years. Two guys who just finish above what normal human beings are supposed to finish. But Rapids fans will often remember just a ball that was skied over the bar, and then they'll just hold that grudge for 2 months and be like, oh, he's a terrible finisher. And like, actually, math says he's not. So that's a good thing to know.
Yeah. All right. So you're credentialed with the Rapids, right?
Yeah.
So let me try to figure out how to phrase this question. I guess, like, tell us a little bit about Bhaji, the man. Like, Is he a joker? Is he a reserved? Is he like a good locker room guy? What can you tell us about him?
Yeah, his legend was that he and two other players on the team going back 2 years ago, the left back, who is Mikel Williams, was a Trinidad and Tobago international. And our right back, Marlon Hairston, were like, they were pal around all the time, and they would take Instagram photos on Halloween, and they actually did a video series where they all went out to like, you know, restaurants and go bowling, and like, they were just really funny. They even did kind of like a newlywed game with the three of them, and that was great. Mikel didn't get re-signed this year, so then it was down to Marlon and Bhaji. And now, obviously, it's just Marlon. So they kind of broke up the Three Musketeers, which is a little worrisome for us, but we'll be all right. So he had that kind of going for him. He's well liked. He's really jovial. I mean, Tim Howard really liked him. He is. I wouldn't say he's a quiet locker room presence, but he's not. He doesn't go into the locker room and give rousing speeches. As far as I understand, he's not the kind of team leader. That's partly because he was always one of the younger players. And for the last couple of years, he's been establishing himself. In an interview, he's a bit matter of fact. He's not gushing. But I think his overall persona, personally, in my opinion, fits that of a guy who was a fourth round draft pick who played for Boston University. You know, he's not a typical expected, you know, heavy hitter. That being said, he is a striker. So if you've ever interviewed or talked to any strikers, they have confidence in buckets. You know, strikers are the guy who walk into the room, see the prettiest girl in the room, and just go right up to him and talk to him, you know, like that's Bhaji. So as far as I know, he's not married for sure. I don't know if he has a girlfriend. So, you know, he's not coming with big family support. He's Senegalese by birth.
He's in Senegal right now getting a visa. No, wait.
He might be back. Yeah. I'm not sure.
Yeah, because he just got his visa, right? So he's not an international anymore.
Right. He got his green card. So he'll count. And that was one of the big parts of that deal that was really good for you guys, that the Rapids went out, got him a green card, then sold the international slot that cleared up when Bhaji was no longer international off to you guys. So it was a win-win. That's a little bit about him. I think he's a stand-up guy. He's a fan favorite. A lot of fans, just almost every fan I know has a picture of their kids with Dominic. So he's very well liked. He'll be a solid, well liked player by fans and players alike. But if you're looking for an instant locker room leader or something like that, that's probably not his thing.
Gotcha. One last question. FC Dallas is full of South Americans. How's his Spanish?
I don't know if he speaks any. I know he speaks French. He grew up speaking French. So I hope a couple players on your team speak some English, but I think it'll be fine.
They do.
I'm most interested to see how Dominic interprets the phrase "busca la forma." You know, like I'm really interested to see whether that, because that's a mysterious phrase for all MLS fans, and I think, you know, somehow it works for Dallas, but I don't know how players hear that and go like, "Oh yeah, now I know what to do."
Yeah, well, I think this year we've got challenge all, and we're confused by that one too. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think you guys are really lucky. I think Bhaji is in the right system with the right support, which he never really had for the Rapids. He never really had a guy pumping in balls to him very well, or an attacking kind of mindset that was beneficial to him. I think in the right system, he's a 12 to 14 goal scorer in Major League Soccer, and especially for you guys. And I think down the stretch, you know, pairing him with Urruti underneath, or putting him alongside in something like a 4-4-2, will work great. My only concern is if you swing him out as like in a 4-3-3 out to a wing position, he has a little bit of a harder time kind of like creating from the wings. And that's partially just because of the way he plays. His passing game's not there. And he's a really great straight line dribbler. And he'll make really dangerous cuts in open field. But if you're asking him to kind of like accelerate off the wings or swing in a ball, or switch from left to right and cross his man up, it's not really his game. So that's my only caveat. It's like you put him in the wrong system and he might be disappointing.
Excellent. This is all good information. Thank you so much for your time, and we'll let you get back with your evening. Get back on. I'll let you get back to whatever you were doing before I called you.
Words are hard sometimes.
Words are hard.
Thanks, Dustin. This was fun.
You were listening to the Dallas Soccer Show with Dustin Nation and Tristan Vick. All right. Thank you, Mark, for your time and telling us a little bit about our new player and your thoughts on the trade. So before we get going, I did want to do a little bit of shameless self-promotion. I am starting a new podcast. It's called the FC Nation Podcast. Yes, it's my last name. We just started our, Tristan will be helping with that, but, I'll be the main, voice behind that one. I wanted to kind of tell broader, bigger soccer stories, that were from just kind of like a little bit off tilt angle. And so episode one was this week, and we told the World Cup story from a broadcaster's perspective. We had the great Mark Followell on, and he just got done doing his first World Cup doing the play-by-play. And like Tristan said, we wish that he did more and was more of a voice in Fox. But if you get a chance, go over to fcnationpod.com. Or look on iTunes for FC Nation Podcast. And yeah, thanks. So that's about all we got for this week. We'll see you on the other side of the Kansas City match.
Stay cool.
Indeed. Cheers, everybody.